into that. I'm struck with the fact that our times together, our fellowship, is so important, and we benefit in ways that we don't even see at the time. There's things that get imparted, and we don't realize it. We just think, well, we're going to a service, and there's things happening, but really, there's so much more that happens. I want to talk about the thing that God is holy, and we are beginning to find out more about that as we go. We're learning about him. I remember reading about how when Moses, and we saw the movie where Moses first saw the burning bush, and Charlton went up to the bush. And but the Lord told him, the place where you're standing is holy ground. So take off your shoes. And all through the scriptures, you see where God is trying to get the point across to his people that he's a holy God. So then the whole issue of, well, what's unholy? Well, the other gods were unholy. You know, the Baals that they worshipped, all the different idolatries and things. There was just despicable things they did, burning their babies to Molech, and I won't even tell you some of the Baals what they were doing, but they had temple prostitutes. It was just a really unholy thing. So God, he's a holy God, and these other idols and things were very unholy. Scripture talks about the mountain of his holiness. So even the mountain was sanctified so that they said, if you even get close to this mountain, somebody will shoot you with an arrow or you'll be smitten. So you weren't even allowed to come close. And it's interesting that when Moses came back down, after having 40 days with a holy God just in his presence, he was glowing too. And of course, the people didn't want just to have that much holiness in their lives that close. So they said, oh, cover it up. We don't want to see, you know. He had to wear a veil so that they wouldn't really see what it's like to even be a smidgen close to holy. And I think as we're getting along in age, I'm beginning to realize we have been in a process to learn more about what it is to be close to God. And as we get closer, we realize he is holy. And he's just not going to say, yeah, come on, everybody that wants to. You know, the scripture is kind of clear. It says, come all ye that are labor and so forth. But he didn't say, bring all your sins with you. He said, repent. Turn aside from those things. The high priest, I know you've studied about the guy that had to go in the tabernacle, and the holy place was really cool. It was holy. But then there was the Holy of Holies. And the high priest got picked by Moses to go into the Holy of Holies. Now, the only problem with being the high priest is that if you messed up, you died, you know. So it wasn't something everybody wanted to volunteer for. It was sort of a thing. You got picked, and you better have your awareness that this is a holy God, and you're going into a holy place. One guy just thought he'd be helpful to help the ark, and bang, he's gone. Remember the guy that the ark was starting to shake when they were carrying it on a cart? Well, we're getting more and more as we go that God is holy. The scriptures talk about the holy temple. And then later in the New Testament, we talk about the holy temple that, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And guess what the name of the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit. So that ought to give you some more clues. We're leading up to being in the presence of a holy God. The four beasts, remember, that stand before the throne. Now, I don't understand why you need four beasts with one head as a lion and one as a whatever. The four beasts, all they did all day long was say, "Holy, holy, holy." They stood around and they were in the midst of the throne, conveying, you don't just come up to God and say, "Hey, dude, I'm here, you know, you saved me." I know we talk about, I was saved myself 48 years ago. But think about the word saved. In the Greek, it's a word that means delivered, set free, healed, made whole. So I could say I was saved 48 years ago, but I didn't get all of the saving part done yet. And I'm still working out my salvation, I guess, with fear and trembling. But we can't take our salvation for granted. So God doesn't allow us to just say, "I'm going to keep on sinning and then I'm going to be with God and be meet close up with a holy God." No, I got bad news for you. That's why God tries to convict us and makes us aware, and gradually, because he's really nice about it, if you notice, he doesn't show you all your sin the first year. You get to see certain sins, and then maybe 5 years later you see some more, and 10 years later, 30 years later. I mean, it's a good thing God didn't show us our sin all at one time, because we wouldn't make it. He's able to reveal himself to us. But basically, the Holy Spirit doesn't allow you to just walk partially in sin and partially in holy. Those two aren't going to mix. So, in fact, there's some scriptures. I didn't even want to bring them up because some people would take them wrong. You know, like, there's some scriptures that say if the ground that continually has the rain falling on it and doesn't bear fruit, it's close to being burned. So there's some really, those scriptures that dangle you over hell are there. You can find them. And I'm going to leave those for you to find on your own. They're really beautiful. And I think it's good to find them. It's good, and especially if you have a sin that says, like he said, since we have a so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Well, if you've got something in your life that's continually popping up, well, it never really went away, but it was sort of like there, but you never dealt with it, then it's a time to get to the bottom of things. And God's going to reveal himself to you that, okay, this sin is holding you back. And I don't have to have anybody remind me when I sin. Usually I know pretty well that was a sin. There are some things that when you do them, you didn't even realize, because you're so dense, that you didn't realize it was a sin until afterwards. You hurt somebody. You said something that was prideful or something that, and then later somebody makes you aware of that. By the way, Brother Fink, you know, when you said that thing to that person, that really hurt them. So we do things that are sins that are kind of like external. We have sins that are lust in the body. In fact, there was a scripture that talks about, so every sin that you do is outside of you except for the sins of the flesh that are like lust. Everything else is just your mind, you know, you do things, you say things, but and then he talks about don't join yourself with a harlot, because what fellowship has light with darkness? How do you expect to join yourself with God if you're joined to a harlot? So we'll let you find out all those scriptures. I know nobody here has any problems with those kind of sins, but if there's things that attack you on a regular basis, you need to get to the bottom of them. Hebrews 12, let's turn to chapter 12. Now see, my system was these little post-its, and I didn't put them in the right order, so now I'm having to look. What's the point, you know, of having a post-it? Okay, Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Got that? Without holiness, you aren't going to see the Lord. You're not going to go waltzing in because, well, I was saved 48 years ago, Lord, here I am. No, it's not that simple. God's asked, he doesn't just save you, but he's saying, I'm saving you for a reason. I want to produce the fruit in you. I want to have this thing finished. I want to get it worked out. Now, I believe some people do better at this sin thing than others. Or wait a minute, what I mean is some people have less problems than others with the thing of sin. Because it says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So being led by the Spirit and having the Spirit in you, you aren't going to be sinning at the same time. And recently I heard someone say, well, you know, Rod, you can't just stop sinning because we have the old sin nature. And I didn't want to make a big argument, but it's true, we have the old sin nature, but Christ has dealt with the old sin nature. He didn't say, okay, you got the old sin nature, you know, but it's all right. I forgive you. Oh, you did it again. Okay, I forgive you. You did it again. Okay, I forgive you. He said to the woman caught in adultery, go your way, and if you sin again, give me a call and I'll pray for you again. No, wait a minute. That's not right. He said to the woman caught in adultery, go your way and sin no more. Why would he tell somebody to stop sinning if you couldn't do it? Because, well, you have old sin nature, so you're just going to get back into the saddle again. No. He tells us to go your way and sin no more because it's possible to do it. And it turns out I didn't realize how I was on one side of an argument in doctrine in the Christian faith. There's another side that says, well, you can't be perfect because of the old sin nature. I've been on the side that, you know, the Lord says, be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. I've seen the scriptures that say, you know, we're all moving on and leading to the point where we're exactly like Christ. So I didn't realize there is a big dispute about that. Some people will act funny and think you're some kind of a cult member if you say we're supposed to stop sinning and stop repeating our sins. So be careful what you say in front of certain people, especially Christians. Okay, 1 John 3. Let me see if my post-it will work here. Aha, okay. Okay, verse 1, excuse me. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God and has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know with that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. So Christ's purpose was to remove sin. So if you're a fan of sin, I'd say you're on the wrong side of the argument. You need to kind of get it in your mind that, wait a minute, sin is not something that fits with being a Christian. And he's died on the cross so that You know, you could have this life. In fact, he said, take up your cross and follow me. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1. There's another one I wanted to bring out. Okay, verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. So the scriptures talks about you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. He's working on you. And in case you haven't noticed, he has some ways, if you ignore what he's trying to do, he has some ways of dealing with you. Has anybody noticed that about God? He doesn't just let you get away with something thinking, okay, that was okay, no problem. No, he finds a way. So, excuse me. I'm gonna highlight the. I put a star by this. This says stop sinning. Well, that's kind of a hard thing to say. I mean, really, when you say stop sinning, yeah, okay, right. Now the process is the Holy Spirit has to make you want to stop sinning, and the Holy Spirit has to help you do it. And it doesn't happen unless the Holy Spirit does it. So you can't just do it in your flesh, or you become a Pharisee. You're able to clean up and look good to everybody, but that doesn't clean up in what's in your heart. John 14. Verse 23. He was actually talking to Judas, but Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So here's Jesus saying, you know, if you keep my word, the Father's going to love you. And not only that, he's going to come to you, and we're together, we're going to make our home with you. But the process is, you know, lay aside those things that are hindering that relationship. And that's what we're after. We're after that relationship. Isaiah 35, let's look at that one. Now, one of my heroes is here today. John Horning, he's a hero. I mean, a lot of you, you can look out and say, there's my heroes. I have a room full here. John Horning's just gone through a drastic thing with his life, and yet he's still down here preaching the word. Did you hear the word last Sunday that he brought? I wasn't even here. I heard it in the spirit. No, actually, it was the internet. I downloaded it, but I love the word that comes here, and here's John still giving a word that touches your heart. So thank you, John, for being so strong. It's like you may not feel like it, but you're a hero to me. It's just a blessing. Rhonda is my hero. When you get around Rhonda, you just sense the work of the cross in her, here's someone that's been through this dealing, and yet she's able to, you know, say, have a blessing. Here's a blessing. How people do it, and I think, you know, I'm a hero to some people. I have, Bill Wright is always telling me, you know, you're my hero because of stuff I've been through. And then Bill Wright's my hero because he's always telling people, you know, go to the hospital and get checked. He's done that with a bunch of people and saved their lives. So we're in a group. We're blessed to have this group of people and enjoy the fact that we have them. Isaiah 35. Let's start at verse 1. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glories of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Now, this passage is speaking of now, but it's also speaking of a future time in the millennium. There's going to be something that happens. It's so wonderful that they're talking about it here. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong and do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for water shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the Highway of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Amen.
Why don't we stand together? We thank the Lord for his word this morning, and we're thankful for just his abiding presence with us. So Lord, bless everyone here. Bless your week. Amen. Amen. We're dismissed.